Welcome to The Bible Tells Me So, a program sponsored by Starting With Jesus. I'm Ms. Keating, your host today. We have Micah to read our questions. Pastor Jonathan is with us to help us find the answer in our Bibles. And Aiden will read the Bible verse for us. Do you have your Bible ready? If you don't, you might want to go and get it so we can find and read the answers together. Let's go ahead and get started. Today's question is from Isaiah. Isaiah actually sent several questions in, and we're not going to be able to get to all of them. But this one, I was like, I bet the other kids would wonder this too. So I picked this one to read and to answer today. So, Micah, what is Isaiah's question?
If Satan knows that he is not going to win, why does he keep fighting back and trying to win?
You know, sometimes we wonder why people keep fighting if they know they're going to lose.
I know, just give up.
When I was a boy, some friends and I decided to play King of the Rock. And for those of you who've never played it, it's where someone gets on top of a rock and tries to stay there without being pushed or pulled off by the others.
Sounds violent.
Sounds like a great game, you know, to have fun.
Sounds like a guy game.
Sounds like a guy game.
There
so. So we were all guys. There were no girls there.
Good.
And the older boys decided to let the younger boys be King of the Rock.
Oh.
And we thought, oh, that's so great.
Woo-hoo.
And then we realized why they wanted us to be King of the Rock, because they were going to have fun pulling us off.
Of course.
And so that's exactly what happened. My friend, right away, within the first few minutes, got pulled right off the rock, and I was left all by myself with two older, bigger, stronger boys, and I knew there was no way I could continue being King of the Rock.
So did you give up?
No, I didn't.
Why?
I'm not sure. I think I may have been scared. I think I may have felt like I had to defend myself and be the King of the Rock, and I continued to wrestle until the very end when I, too, got pulled off the rock.
You should have just given up.
I should have. But that's what we find with Satan in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12.
All right, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 12, and then we're going to look at verse 12. That's pretty easy to remember. Revelation 12:12. Aiden, what does that say?
Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time.
So why does Satan keep fighting back and trying to win? The Bible says that he has great wrath. In other words, knowing that he only has a short time left makes him so angry that he keeps fighting.
Wow. He has great wrath, so that's like anger, and he's just furious. And so he's like, I am out to take down everyone I can.
That's right.
I'm going down, so I'm taking as many with me as possible.
That's right. It reminds me of a battle fought in 1336 in Lithuania. When the defenders realized that they were going to lose, they decided to burn down their wooden fortress and take their own lives so that the enemy would have nothing to take home with them.
Yeah, like no trophy, war trophy, prizes.
Nothing. They're no like, prisoners, no nothing.
That would be almost embarrassing for the other army.
It would.
Yeah.
And they decided if they were going to lose, they were going to try to embarrass the other army and not give them anything.
Wow.
Kind of crazy. It may be that Satan feels the same way those defenders did. Rather than surrender and stop fighting, he'd rather destroy the whole world and everyone in it.
And you know, by doing that, it brings sadness to God. And that's, you know, Satan wants to make God unhappy. He wants to bring him just sadness. And so that's like a way that Satan's like, ha, I can make life even worse for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts more.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah. But the good news is that Satan will lose the final battle against God and God's special people. I want to be one of God's special people, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, Isaiah, you asked a really good, big question, and I really am thankful for it. Good job. We are so glad that you guys joined us today, and we want to remind you to start each and every day with Jesus. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising Him. Have you ever felt safe and secure? What place do you feel the safest? Is it under your bed? Is it in a closet? Is it snuggled up to your mom or dad? Is it with a fuzzy blanket or a special teddy? With Jesus, we can know that we are safe with Him. He will take care of us. Even if bad things happen, we can know and trust that Jesus will be with us. He will take care of us. We are safe with Him.
Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere He leads me, then the world below. Anywhere without the fear of noise or dread. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, here I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go.
We have an exciting story today. It is about Philip again and how God told him to do something that probably didn't make a lot of sense, but once he did what God wanted him to do, it made more sense. Before we get started, though, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, come into our hearts and help us to follow you, to trust you, to lean on you. Give us understanding in your Holy Spirit to know what you want us to learn today. In Jesus' name, amen. One day, while Philip was still in Samaria, God sent an angel to give him a special message. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. We are jumping right in, aren't we? Last time we talked about Philip in Samaria and how he went there and he shared the message. Did many people believe and were baptized? Yes. In fact, it says multitudes were with one accord and they heeded or they listened to the things spoken by Philip. They were so excited. There was great joy. Well, now God has another plan for Philip. He has another job for him. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, fifth book in the New Testament, Acts chapter 8. Once you find chapter 8, then you're going to look down for those little numbers to verse 26. Let's see what that says.
Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert."
So who spoke to Philip? The angel of the Lord. And what did he tell him? To arise, to get up, and go where? South along the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. That is the desert. All right, so Philip is supposed to go on this road to the desert. Now, when you think of the desert, do you think of a lot of people or no people? Like, no people. We were driving between California and Arizona on Highway 40, coming back from visiting my husband's parents. And as we were driving, we drove through the Mojave Desert. And that is such a barren place. There are no trees,
almost no sagebrush or bushes. There's just some little scraggly, like, desert grass, kind of, that's dry. And there's lots of dirt, sand, rocks, but it's very barren. It's very hot. It's very dry. Nobody really lives there because we need water to live. And so if there's no water there, then nobody can live there. So we're driving across this desert, and we look around, and I'm like, oh, honey, we may live in the desert, but at least there's some juniper bushes and some sagebrush and rocks that are really pretty. But out here, it's just, ugh, it's kind of ugly. It's like, yeah, you're telling me. Well, and here goes Philip to the desert. Why would God send Philip to the desert? Did Philip ask why? No, he didn't. He did not ask why God wanted him to walk so far on that desert road all by himself. But Philip trusted Jesus, and he obeyed at once. Kind of the opposite of Jonah, right? Jonah was told to go, and he went the opposite direction. Philip is told to go, and he's like, I'm going. He was willing to do anything that Jesus asked him to do. It was a long walk on a dusty desert road. But the angel had told Philip to go, and that's where Philip went. As Philip walked along the dusty road toward Gaza, he saw a chariot ahead of him. He probably knew that anyone riding in a chariot must be very important. It's kind of like today, if you were to see somebody riding on a private jet, you would know, whoa, that person is important, or that person has money, or something, they're extra special. They don't have to ride on an airplane with all these other people. They have their own airplane, their private jet. A private jet today is kind of like what a chariot was back then in Bible times. So he sees someone in a chariot, and he's like, oh, if they're riding in a chariot, they're very important. And that man riding in the chariot was important. Who was he? Let's look at verse 27. Acts chapter 8, verse 27. Let's see who this guy was.
So he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship.
This man was an officer who worked for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. He was in charge of all the queen's money, of all of her treasuries. Do you think he could be trusted? Yeah, probably. I mean, if he's in charge of the queen's treasuries, and he believed in the one true God. Because what had he been doing? Where did it say that he had been? He had been in Jerusalem. Why had he been in Jerusalem? Because he was worshiping God. He had been to the temple there, and now he was on his way back to his own country. As the officer rode along in his chariot, he was reading from the writings of Isaiah about the true Lamb of God who would give his life for us. Look at verse 28. Acts chapter 8, verse 28.
And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet.
The Holy Spirit told Philip that the officer didn't understand what he was reading, and he needed Philip to explain it to him. So Philip runs and catches up with the chariot. Look at verse 29. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. This is what the Spirit told him.
Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot.
So the Holy Spirit tells Philip, hey, go there. He needs your help. He needs your understanding. And so what does Philip do? We're going to find out next time. Do you think that Philip knew why he was sent on that desert road? No. You know, there are many times when we don't understand where God is leading us. In fact, there's a really neat quote in the book Acts of the Apostles, and it's on page 109, and here's what it says. I want you to listen to this. An angel guided Philip to the one who was seeking for light and who was ready to receive the gospel. And today, that's our time, right now, boys and girls, you and me. Today, angels will guide the footsteps of those workers who will allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify their tongues and refine and ennoble their hearts. The angel sent to Philip could have done the work for the Ethiopian, but it is not God's way of working. It is His plan that men are to work for their fellow men. What is God's plan, boys and girls? That we are to share His love with others. He could send angels to go tell people about Him, but He chooses us. And He wants to choose you to tell people who are looking for Jesus, who are looking for light, who are ready to receive the gospel. He wants you to share that with them. I want Jesus to use me today. What about you? Well, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we want you to sanctify our tongues. We want you to refine and ennoble our hearts. We want you to guide our footsteps and to be your workers today. Give us your Holy Spirit to allow us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Acts 1:8.
And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me to the end of the earth. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.